Coming to you live from the Small House Studios in Hollywood, California, this is World Soccer Talk Radio. Hello to all of you listening on our Sports Byline affiliates all across this great country. And thanks for subscribing to us on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and WorldSoccerTalk.com. I am your host, Nate Abarrea, down here in the Los Angeles area for the CONCACAF Cup between the USA and Mexico, just a few days away. Hope you enjoyed that goalkeeper special that we had for yesterday with Gary Bailey, the former Manchester United goalkeeper and current BN Sports analyst. And today we're talking all about USA-Mexico, and we got one of the best U.S. soccer writers that you will find. Mr. Jeffrey Carlisle will be joining us in this edition of the show. But on Twitter over the last few days, all anyone's wanted to talk to me about is Mr. Brendan Rodgers. You can get at me on Twitter, by the way, at NateWST. The sacking of Brendan Rodgers at Liverpool. And I've been reading a lot of hate, a lot of hate in the Twitter sphere and blogs all across the world. You might remember back in August, we had Mike Calvin on the show, the author of Living on the Volcano, How to Survive as a Football Manager. And Mike Calvin said that when he wrote that book, he was really setting out to humanize an often dehumanized profession. In the past 5 years, Brendan Rodgers helped Swansea City truly go from a jack to a king and make it to the Premier League. He left Swansea, he landed a dream job at Liverpool, and during his time at Liverpool, he came agonizingly close to being the manager that ended Liverpool's domestic title drought. And then it all went steadily downhill, ending with a 1-1 draw in this past Sunday's Merseyside derby. In the past 5 years, Brendan Rodgers has also seen the death of both his mother and his father. He and his wife have got divorced, and he saw his only son through an eventual acquittal in a sexual assault case. Brendan Rodgers has been quoted as saying that the last 5 years of his life have been the most traumatic 5 years of his life. He's also been quoted as saying that they've been the most amazing and rewarding 5 years of his life. Brendan Rodgers is a human being, and his career is in managing soccer teams. Like 99% of relationships in this world, this one between Liverpool and Brendan Rodgers didn't last forever, and it was certainly time to move on. We'll see if Jurgen Klopp comes to Anfield and takes over Liverpool. But all I can say right now, as we head to our first break here on World Soccer Talk Radio, cheers to you, Brendan. I know we haven't seen the last of you. Thanks for your time at Liverpool Football Club. Back with Jeffrey Carlisle on the other side of this break. It's World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
See the world's best matches live, wherever you are, with Fox Soccer To Go. Watch select live matches on your smartphone, on your tablet, and on your computer. Get the app, get the games, and get your fix. Live soccer and more. Anytime, anywhere.
Sign up to watch the Bundesliga and Champions League at soccerondish.com.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
If you're a soccer fan and you want to cut the cord and watch more of the beautiful game, NGSN may be the online streaming service you're looking for. FreeSoccerTrial.com. With NGSN, you get live, legal, and on-demand access to matches from the Eredivisie, J-League from Japan, K-League from Korea, Argentina's Primera Division, Portugal, Ecuador, Russian Premier League, as well as leagues from Bolivia, Venezuela, and more. The games are in HD, and commentaries are available in your choice of English or Spanish. And this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the U.S. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 30-day trial to NGSN. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Geico presents Kathy, the Candid Realtor.
Okay, and right around here is the kitchen. Gas range, granite countertops, all those gadgets you registered for will look great up here until that toaster overheats and takes out everything in a 2-foot radius.
It's hard to know all that comes with renting a home or apartment. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency makes getting covered for personal property loss and damage quick and easy. Visit geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
World Soccer Talk Radio, back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. It is a pleasure to welcome back to the show of ESPN FC, talking all about this upcoming CONCACAF Cup. Jeff Carlisle. Jeff, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, Nate. How are you?
Doing real good. So what's the itinerary looking like for you this week?
I head down tonight. Yeah, there's been a little bit of availability with the U.S. team so far, but I'll be heading down tonight, quick flight down from the Bay Area, and I'll be there through Sunday, through all the craziness.
Look forward to seeing you down here, and you ready for 100 degrees on Saturday in Pasadena?
I saw the forecast. It's looking pretty brutal. I don't know if that'll be the temperature come kickoff, but it's gonna be a hot one. So I don't think it'll be quite as bad as Manaus. I mean, that was heat and humidity, so I think it'll be a little drier in L.A. But the conditions will pose a challenge, no doubt.
Well, again, look forward to seeing you down here and seeing everybody in the U.S. soccer landscape really descending into Los Angeles over the next few days, and all the preparations going into it, covering some of the practices, and then, of course, it all culminating with Saturday night against Mexico at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. So you think if you go on to ESPN FC today, you'd see some stuff about, headlines about some of the European leagues, maybe some stuff about this CONCACAF Cup you'd think would be big in there. Well, there is something big about this CONCACAF Cup, but it's not exactly what I was expecting. The big headline on ESPNFC.us today, Landon Donovan coming out and saying Klinsmann should go if U.S. loses. It's just, it feels so juicy anytime the names Landon Donovan and Jurgen Klinsmann are next to each other in anything. What are your thoughts on these comments going public from Landon Donovan that if, in Landon's opinion, if the, and it's an opinion that is shared with many a people, I'm sure, but that if the U.S. lose this match, that Jurgen Klinsmann should be sacked. What are your thoughts on all this, Jeff?
Well, I don't think what Landon said was really all that out there. He did say that, Klinsmann often talks about his players performing in higher pressure environments where, you can't go to the store if you lost at the weekend, without, being accosted by some fan. And he thinks that Jurgen should be held to the same standard. And I think that's true to a degree. For me, the manner of the result is going to matter. I mean, if the U.S. manages to lose this game on penalties, I don't think there's going to be that much hue and cry that Jurgen Klinsmann should be fired. I mean, if they lose 4-0, then I think you'll see a little bit more momentum and a little bit more energy coming from the Klinsmann out crowd. I mean, I still don't think anything is going to change demonstrably. I mean, Jurgen Klinsmann basically has to answer to one person, and that's Sunil Gulati. And Gulati has been, pretty clear in his support and his vision in terms of, that this is a long-term project. Personally, I think Klinsmann has been able to insulate himself from a lot of that pressure by the fact that he's a technical director also. I think that was one of the smartest things he ever did in terms of his U.S. tenure was because, basically, you've always got this promise of success on the horizon, and short-term results, kind of go into the background. I think there's good and there's bad in that. Certainly, I don't think the U.S. wants to copy Mexico and be changing managers, every year or two. But at the same time, I would like to see Klinsmann at least take a little bit more responsibility for some of the results. I mean, usually he's the one to kind of push this on the players and put it on their performance. Even in the Brazil game when he played Alejandro Bedoya way out of position and everyone could see it from the outset, Klinsmann was basically putting that on Bedoya. So I think the pressure will increase. I'm still stopping short of saying that Klinsmann should be fired if he loses this game on Saturday.
Well, absolutely. And use that phrase long-term project, and that's something that a lot of people need to look at. And look at Jurgen Klinsmann's work in Germany. And going back to a show where we had Raphael Honigstein on the show, checking out what Jurgen did back in Germany and how it parallels what he's trying to do here in the U.S. and the relationship with Galati, the fact that he is the technical director. And I wonder sometimes, Jeff, and this is the last question on this, then I want to talk to you all about the squad and the game itself. Does the Klinsmann out crowd, do they realize any of this stuff? Do they realize the aspect of the technical director, the long-term project, the relationship with Galati, all the things that you just spelled out right there? Are they blind to that, or do they just choose to turn a blind eye to it?
Well, I think there's some acknowledgement that, that there are some long-term aspects to this. But, what I see is a recognition that, being the technical director is one thing, being the coach of the team is another. And a lot of times, those are two very separate aims without a whole lot of overlap. I think some of my colleagues, we talk about this all the time, and there's an acknowledgement that, yes, what he's trying to do is change things, but, he's been in this job 4 years. And I think it's not unreasonable to expect there to have been a little more progress in terms of a style and in terms of, the manner in which the U.S. plays games. That's not to say that it's expected that they're going to go out and beat Brazil and take the game to them. But, let's face it, the level of soccer in 2015 has not been all that impressive, and quite a bit of that has been against CONCACAF opponents. So I think I don't know if it's the Klinsmann out crowd, but I think there's some legitimate concerns out there with the direction that this team is headed.
Well, and bouncing off the point that you just made, the soccer here in 2015 is definitely not above and beyond the soccer that was being played by the U.S. men's national team in 2011 when Jurgen took over this team, and just focusing on the Klinsmann era. So there's definitely two ways to look at that thing. There's far more than two ways. There's two sides to it, and they definitely, you could play devil's advocate for both of them. Now, Jurgen has, again, raised a few eyebrows with his selection of even just the 23-man roster. And we've got only 2 minutes before we got to head to break, Jeff, so we'll break this down in depth on the other side of this break. But in a broad scope, what were your thoughts when you saw the 23-man roster and some of the names within this thing going into this Mexico clash?
I wasn't overly surprised. It's a veteran-heavy roster. And let's face it, this is a one-off. This is a game where there's something at stake. People can disagree as to how important the Confederations Cup is. I think it's one of those things that kind of nudges the program along. It's three games minimum against quality opponents, and certainly I think it helped the team to a degree back in 2009. And it was a minor setback, I think, when the U.S. didn't qualify at the last cycle. So it's not surprising to me to see Klinsmann go with this veteran lineup. Obviously the big omission, I think, was Omar Gonzalez. Granted, he's not had the greatest run of it at club level, but when has that ever really mattered in terms of Jurgen Klinsmann picking a team? I mean, we've seen countless examples of guys who haven't been necessarily doing well with their club and still getting called in. So I think it's important that a guy like Matt Beisler is back in there, and I have a strong sense that he's going to start on Saturday. And I think throughout the summer, obviously, there's been a lot of concern about the play of the back line, and in particular the center of defense. And I think they really missed some experience out there. And even the last cycle, when, say, Carlos Bocanegra was being phased out, you know, that, you know, there were still some experienced guys. You still had guys like Clarence Goodson to kind of, you know, carry the baton a little bit until the next generation steps to the fore. So, you know, I think that's what was missing at the Gold Cup, and I think it's a good thing that a guy like Matt Beisler is back in the fold, and also Jeff Cameron as well.
We're here with Jeff Carlisle of ESPNSC talking all about the U.S. men's national team. Who will Jurgen put on that final team sheet come Saturday? We'll talk all about that on the other side of this break. Who's going to play goalkeeper? Will it be Brad Guzan? Will it be Tim Howard? Who's going to start in the back line? Will names like Danny Williams and Jossie Zardes play a factor in this match against Mexico? How will Clint Dempsey and Josie Altidore fare? We're talking Bradley. We're talking Jones. We're talking USA Mexico. It's World Soccer Talk Radio. Nate Abarrea and Jeff Carlisle here with you. Stay tuned. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
If you're a soccer fan and you want to cut the cord and watch more of the beautiful game, NGSN may be the online streaming service you're looking for. FreeSoccerTrial.com. With NGSN, you get live, legal, and on-demand access to matches from the Eredivisie, J-League from Japan, K-League from Korea, Argentina's Primera Division, Portugal, Ecuador, Russian Premier League, as well as leagues from Bolivia, Venezuela, and more. The games are in HD, and commentaries are available in your choice of English or Spanish. And this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the U.S. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 30-day trial to NGSN. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
See the world's best matches live wherever you are with Fox Soccer To Go. Watch select live matches on your smartphone, on your tablet, and on your computer. Get the app, get the games, and get your fix. Live soccer and more. Anytime, anywhere.
Sign up to watch the Bundesliga and Champions League at soccerondish.com.
Geico presents Kathy, the Candid Realtor.
Okay, and right around here is the kitchen. Gas range, granite countertops, all those gadgets you registered for will look great up here. Until that toaster overheats and takes out everything in a 2-foot radius.
It's hard to know all that comes with renting a home or apartment. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency makes getting covered for personal property loss and damage quick and easy. Visit geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
World Soccer Talk Radio back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. And again, subscribe to us in podcast form. If you're already doing that, then tell a friend to do that. iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and the website, of course, worldsoccertalk.com. My name is Nate Abarrea, joined by Jeff Carlisle of ESPN FC. All right, it is time to take a little look deeper into Saturday. We're talking U.S. lineup. We'll start where else? We'll start in goal, Jeff. And this is a two-part question.
Brad Guzan or Tim Howard? Jeff Carlisle, who would you start if you were in charge? That's part one. And then part two, I'm sure you know where we're going with this. Who will start?
Well, I think my answer would be the same. I think you'd have to put Brad Guzan in there. You know, it's always tricky when a player takes an international break. You know, not to say that, you know, Landon Donovan and Tim Howard situations were identical, but you know, Howard did take his break away from the national team, and you know, I think you know, for the most part, Brad Guzan has deserved to keep his spot. I mean, everybody remembers the game against Jamaica. He obviously had the critical error there with the foul at the top of the box and the handball. But I think for the most part, he has played well enough to keep his spot. Certainly, you know, we'll see what happens down the road with Tim Howard. But you know, I think Brad Guzan, you know, he plays in the Premier League. You know, he's won his spot back at Villa. When it looked for a while like, you know, he might have to move on, given that he was benched at the end of last season. But he, you know, he's gotten his spot back, and you know, I certainly think he's more than capable of getting the job done. I mean, I think people kind of forget a little bit that last cycle, you know, when Howard was injured, it was Guzan who went in there and got the 0-0, if memory serves. So, you know, he's played in a lot of big games, both for club and country, and I think he's more than equal to the task to help the U.S. get a result.
Jeff, I had this written down right here on my show sheet today because everyone talking about who they want to see on the field in this game against Mexico. They want to see guys with the best head-to-head past experiences against Mexico. You want to see the guys that when you think of memories of them playing against Mexico, they're outstanding memories. And the first memory that I have of Brad, when I think Brad Guzan against Mexico, is a stunning performance in Azteca to get that 0-0 draw back in the spring of 2013. And funny enough, when I think Tim Howard against Mexico, I think of him crawling at the feet of Giovanni Dos Santos and getting four put past him at the Rose Bowl, of all places, back in 2011. Now, you touched on something really interesting there, and we opened the show by talking about Landon Donovan making public comments, and I joke saying that, you know, anytime Landon Donovan and Jurgen Klinsmann's names are together, there's just this juicy, kind of almost gossipy feel to it, and you feel like there's still some resentment left there. Is there any resentment towards Tim Howard left with Jurgen Klinsmann, do you think? I mean, he's brought him back in to the 23-man squad, but is there anything left over of hey, you're not above me, you don't get to just take an international sabbatical? Because it seemed as if there was clearly some of that with Landon. Do you think there's any of that left over with Howard as he comes back into the fold of the U.S. team?
No, not at all. You know, I think... You know, Howard was very upfront and very clear about why he was doing this. I mean, he kind of wanted to use those international breaks to spend a little bit more time with his children who are living in the United States and not living with him in England. And so, and don't forget, I mean, you know, Tim Howard was still playing club ball at a very, you know, for a good team and in a very competitive league. I mean, some would say the most competitive. So the situation was a little bit different. I don't know if there was any resentment, but I think whenever you're in that kind of situation, it is important for the player coming back to earn his spot back. I mean, he has to, you know, come in and kind of pay his dues a little bit. And, you know, even with Landon Donovan, I think you saw Klinsmann do that when he came in for the Gold Cup that was, you know, otherwise, you know, largely kind of a reserve-laden squad that won that title in 2013. So, and, you know, and Donovan wanted to come back early and play in some World Cup qualifiers around that time. And you know, Klinsmann said, you know, hey, you know, hold on, you know, this has to be a process. And I think there was a lot of support for the way Jurgen Klinsmann handled that part of his situation with Landon Donovan. Later on, it became a little bit more divisive. But I think as it relates to Tim Howard, I don't think there's any resentment or bitterness on the part of Jurgen Klinsmann. I think he's just... I think he wants to honor the work that Brad Guzan has done, and while at the same time saying, "Yeah, Tim Howard, you know, come back." Is a, you know, having two world class goalkeepers in your squad like Guzan and Howard is definitely a strength, and you know, certainly Jurgen Klinsmann wants to benefit from that.
And Jeff, as you've pointed out, and I want to make it abundantly clear right now, that it's so important to assess the individual case and not start painting with broad strokes. And it's so important to point out that Landon Donovan's situation and Tim Howard's situation are oh so slightly related. They are oh so different in a multitude of ways, and it's oh so important to assess the individual case. And so we're talking about this one with Tim Howard and Jurgen Klinsmann. So Jeff Carlisle says Brad Guzan to start on Saturday. What do you say? Get at me at NateWST and get at all of us at World Soccer Talk on Twitter. Let us know who you think should be starting in goal for the Yanks on Saturday against L3. All right, in the 5 minutes that we've got left here in this segment, Jeff, I want to talk all about the back line. We brought up the names Jeff Cameron and Matt Beisler a little bit earlier in the show. That's who I want to see at center back. I want to see Jeff Cameron and Matt Beisler, and then I'd like to see Fabian Johnson and DeAndre Yedlin in on the outsides. It seems pretty sensible, but are we going to show up to the Rose Bowl on Saturday and see Ventura Alvarado starting at center back and DeMarcus Beisler at left back, or is it going to be done in the sensible fashion with the sensible selections in there? Is Jurgen going to come up with something crazy for this back line against Mexico?
Well, I don't think you can get much more sensible than reverting to the back line that started the first two World Cup games last summer. So, I mean, that would be Beisler and Cameron in the middle and Fabian Johnson and DeMarcus Beisler, you know, at the outside back positions. You know, I think it's going to take, you know, some cool heads out there. I mean, this is a game that's going to have a lot of pressure. It's going to have a lot of hype. And I think experience is definitely going to be a terrific asset to have. That's not to say that I don't think we'll see DeAndre Yedlin on the field at all, but I think if he gets on the field, it will be as a sub, you know, maybe in a midfield role that we've seen him occupy in some of the previous friendlies, and also you know, earlier in the summer as well. So I think that's the four that you're going to see. You know, people talk about age, and certainly DeMarcus Beisler doesn't want to go out on the low like he did in the Gold Cup, but you know, when you know, they had that game against Panama. But I think that's going to be the back four that you're going to see, and I think, you know, Jurgen Klinsmann has tinkered around and experimented with his back four so much. You know, you hope that there will be a little bit of chemistry between those four guys. You know, some, you know, just being able to leverage their time together a year ago, you know, at the World Cup. So I think that's the group that you're going to see, and I think it's a pretty sensible decision, in my opinion.
Jeff, the Cameron and Beisler partnership is the most spot on, no brainer selection I think that Jurgen could have. As far as the outside backs, I think there's definitely some room for debate. I've always liked DeAndre Yedlin actually playing as a right back and being able to attack up and down the right side and defend as a right back. But you have Fabian Johnson at right back and DeMarcus Beisler at left back, the same first two games of the World Cup starting back line with those four. Okay, well, assuming it's those four, what are you most worried? What or who are you most worried about in relation to Mexico's attack in this game?
Well, I would say, you know, it looks like Andres Guardado is going to be, you know, healthy. And, I mean, certainly he's a guy to look out for, and Carlos Vela as well. You know, Giovanni Dos Santos is not going to be there, so I think the U.S. catches a bit of a break. He hasn't always excelled against the U.S. team, but, you know, everyone remembers that goal in the Rose Bowl, 4 years ago, that was so spectacular. So, you know, certainly those are our guys to watch. I'm not even really so concerned about individual players as it is, you know, the unit. And certainly that requires some screening of the back four as well, and that's why I think Kyle Beckerman will be on the field. But, you know, just how cohesive are these guys going to be? And, you know, they'll obviously have a week of practice, so it's not like a situation where they fly in, maybe they practice once or twice, and, you know, and then they have to play the game, so they'll have a little bit more time. But you know, my concern is, you know, how cohesive are they going to be? I think if Klinsmann plays that back four, he's maximizing, you know, the amount of chemistry that he's going to have on the field. But again, you know, these guys have not played together in a while, so you know, there's that concern. So again, my concern is about the team shape and the ability of these guys to play together, not so much the individuals.
Jeff, we've got 60 seconds before we got to head to break. You see Kyle Beckerman starting in this match against Mexico.
I do. I think this is going to have a very much a U.S. versus Ghana type feel in terms of the lineup. I think you're going to see a lot of the same guys. I think there are some questions about how Klinsmann wants to approach his midfield. But, I think Beckerman is a guy that he's had good performances against Mexico in the past. I mean, you talked about, Guzan and having those good memories, that good history, of playing against Del Tri. And so I think, Kyle Beckerman is a guy who has that. And, he's been on the field for some big games against Mexico. So, I think he's a guy that just with his positioning, he's kind of a stay-at-home type, and especially if you have Jermaine Jones on the field, I think you just need that midfield anchor, that guy who's always going to be there and again, provide a little bit of support for the back line.
Talking about the midfield, talking about the attack, talking a little bit more about this USA-Mexico clash. On the other side of this break, Nate Abarrea here with Jeff Carlisle of ESPN FC. World Soccer Talk Radio is with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here. Time to shake off that boring old weekend and get back to the excitement of labor. You're going to need a good lunch, though. So stop into a KFC for a $5 fill-up with two pieces of original recipe chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a medium drink. Okay, then. I'll let you get back to work now. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Dump thigh-side cookie medium drink. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like they did for these Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can have your website built for free and up and running in as little as 7 days. Plus, promote your site on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call now to get your website built for free. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call 855-254-SITE. 855-254-SITE. 855-254-7483. Or go to web.com/radio. There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now. 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
Right now, the Home Depot has Pergo XP Haley Oak Laminate Flooring for just $2.29 a square foot. Basic installation is just 89 cents a square foot. So, let's lay down a floor that stands up to our lives, with double the durability of regular laminate and just as beautiful as real wood. Let's do this with Pergo XP Haley Oak Laminate for $2.29, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, installation offer valid on laminates over 150 square foot with minimum purchase of 250 square feet.
Nate Barea and Jeff Carlisle of ESPN FC here with you on World Soccer Talk Radio, talking all about the CONCACAF Cup, USA, Mexico at the Rose Bowl, Pasadena, Saturday night. Jeff will be down in LA in a matter of hours. I'm already down here in the Hollywood area. I'll be heading over to Pasadena and over to Irvine and Santa Monica in the next few days, soaking in this SoCal sunshine. And in case you haven't seen the forecast, we talked about it earlier in the program, said to be 100 degrees on Saturday in Pasadena, and hopefully it will cool down a little bit by kickoff time. Jeff, you and I always talk about soccer being a team game, and especially in regards to this U.S. team and the point that you just made about Mexico and their potential going forward, that it's all about the team, it's all about the system. Okay, with all that being said, from a U.S. vantage point coming into this Saturday, who's going to be that guy? Who's going to be the difference maker? Maybe a couple of difference makers to step up and really take it upon themselves to make sure that the U.S. win this game. If you had to peg one or two players, who would they be for the U.S.?
Well, I would pick Clint Dempsey. I mean, he's the guy that really makes the attack go. You know, I think we saw at the Gold Cup, you know, this past summer, just how dependent the U.S. remains, you know, on his skills and his ability to kind of pull out the unexpected. I think he'll be paired up top with Jozy Altidore, and I think it's, you know, a good sign to see Altidore, you know, start to get the goals again at club level. I mean, obviously, he's had some issues in terms of injury, and obviously he spoke, you know, to me about a week ago about, you know, some personal problems that he's been having to deal with as well. But you know, it seems like mentally and physically he's in a good place. But again, I think it's really about Clint Dempsey, you know, kind of being able to provide that conduit, you know, in the attacking third, you know, taking passes from, you know, say a Jermaine Jones or even from the back line and being able to create things. So, you know, in the past I've always thought he was more of a guy to kind of get on the end of things, to kind of finish off plays. But I think in this team, you know, his ability to beat guys off the dribble, you know, to pick out a clever pass, I think the U.S. is going to have to rely on that. And so certainly in an attacking sense, I think Dempsey is a guy that's really going to have to step up.
Everywhere I go, everywhere I travel, I always carry my book of football cliches. We had the author Adam Hurry on the show back a couple of months ago. And one of my favorites within this book, and this is a universal sports cliche, but the monkey on the back, the pressure on the shoulders, the chip on the shoulder. And for Clint Dempsey, the monkey on the back is that he's never scored a goal against Mexico, Jeff.
Yeah, that is an amazing stat. I mean, that was brought to my attention a couple weeks ago, and it's kind of stunning because he's scored so many big goals for the U.S. I mean, he's a guy who's scored in, you know, three different World Cups, and always, you know, for the last, you know, 8, 9, 10 years or so, he's been a mainstay for the U.S. national team, and so it's amazing to me to see or to hear that, you know, he's never gotten a goal against Mexico. Certainly he's been on the field for some of those games. But, you know, it always seemed like Landon Donovan was always the El Tree killer. But, you know, that is an amazing stat. And I think that would be an amazing kind of capstone, if you will, in Dempsey's career if he were to get a goal in this game. Not to, you know, really imply that he's done or close to being done. You know, Klinsmann talked about guys over 30 kind of being, you know, this may be their swan song. But I think Dempsey's going to be sticking around for quite a while longer. And, you know, he's a big part of the team now, and I think he's, again, a guy that's going to have to deliver on Sunday, or I'm sorry, on Saturday.
Got to move back to the midfield, Jeff, and first talk about Jermaine Jones, who's a guy that you say you think he'll be there kind of partnering up with Kyle Beckerman and holding down that midfield and providing a little bit of protection for that back four. Jermaine Jones, to put it lightly, was poor against Brazil. There were many U.S. players who were poor against Brazil. There were only a couple, I thought, who even had marginally good games in that Brazil affair back in September. However, Jermaine Jones walking off the pitch also snubbed Jurgen Klinsmann and looked very pissed off at being the fact that he was being removed from this game. And there's been a lot of curiosity about Jermaine Jones, his legs right now at the end of a Major League Soccer season. Does he seem like he's tired? Is the MLS calendar kind of thrown off his soccer equilibrium in all seriousness? How are you feeling about Jermaine as an individual and how he fits in with the squad going into this game, Jeff?
Well, I don't think he's necessarily tired. I mean, this is a guy who's had a couple hernia surgeries in this calendar year. So it's so if anything, I mean, I think it's, you know, I mean, lack of fitness can come in some different forms, but I think it's more him just trying to get back in his rhythm, to use a Klinsmann cliche. You know, just to kind of get used to playing 90 minutes again. I mean, he was still had just come back when he played those two games against Peru and Brazil. And actually, Peru, I thought he, you know, after some early hiccups, I thought he did quite well and really kind of led that comeback. So, you know, I think he's still an important player. I'm happy to see Klinsmann kind of abandon the whole, you know, Jermaine Jones as a center back. I mean, I think it didn't play to his instincts. I mean, I spoke with him, you know, right before the Brazil game, and he talked about how he in midfield he likes to have a guy to cover for him so that he can kind of freelance. And so I don't know if it'll necessarily be him and Beckerman anchoring the middle. I think it'll be a little bit more like what we saw at the World Cup, where you know, he's kind of flared out to the left a little bit, you know, with Beckerman kind of being the dedicated guy to sit. You know, then you have, you know, who knows what you have on the right side, whether it's Alejandro Bedoya or whether he goes with Giassi Zardes or DeAndre Yedlin. You know, and then you'll see Michael Bradley kind of in that more advanced midfield role. But I think, you know, intangibles are often, you know, I mean, the reason they're intangibles is because they're hard to quantify. But I think just in terms of leadership and in terms of experience, you know, I think Jermaine Jones is the guy that Klinsmann has come to rely on, and that's why I think you'll see him on the field. But I do think that Jermaine Jones is going to have to show more discipline than he showed, say, you know, in that game against Brazil, because, you know, in that game, obviously, Alejandro Bedoya was playing in a holding role and an unfamiliar role for him, and so it was a little disappointing not to see Jermaine Jones kind of recognize that situation and maybe play a little bit more conservatively and instead of, you know, you know, being kind of hyper-aggressive almost. So I think you will see Jermaine Jones on the field. I think it'll be a similar role to what we saw at the World Cup. But again, he's going to have to play with a lot of discipline if the U.S. is going to come out on top.
Well, Jeff, when you talk about Jermaine Jones, you know, holding in the midfield but then slightly floating out to the left and getting involved in the attack, all I can think about is his goal against Portugal and being able to cut back to his right foot from long distance. So I hope that is what we see in terms of Jermaine Jones on the field. How about an absolute cracker at the Rose Bowl against Mexico? Wouldn't that be nice? You bring up the name Michael Bradley. A lot of people pointing to Michael Bradley as someone who, again, has a lot of pressure on their shoulders and has a lot of critics right now. And again, not to make too big of a deal of this on an individual level. It's a team game. The U.S. will go as far as the team spirit and team mentality and team intangibles take them. But personally, for Michael Bradley, how big of a game do you think this is on Saturday night?
It's big. I would say he's had bigger. I mean, I think that, you know, any game at a World Cup is certainly going to be a bigger game. You know, I do think that he's gotten a little bit better as the year has gone on in terms of playing in that advanced role. It hasn't always been – there's still some hiccups, I think, surrounding that. But and I do think sometimes he's his own worst enemy a little bit. I mean, the guy's able – he's so fit, and he's able to cover so much ground that I think, you know, sometimes that's usually a sign that things aren't going well for the U.S. when he has to cover that much ground and he has to cover for other people. You know, I think, you know, on Saturday, the U.S. is going to have to trust that the guys like Beckerman are going to get the job done defensively. And, you know, Bedoya is very conscientious tracking back. I mean, you know, certainly a lot was made of that game against Brazil. But when he plays on the wing, he puts in the work. He puts in the miles, and he's the kind of guy who will take care of his defensive responsibilities. So, I think from that standpoint, that should leave Bradley a little freer to kind of combine with guys like Altidore and Dempsey and to kind of spark the attack a little bit.
That's
back to that game against Mexico, what was it, a year ago last April, where he was just otherworldly for a half. But then there have been some moments of struggle as well, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Now, the game you're referencing was the one where Miguel Herrera came out publicly and said that Michael Bradley was the best player on planet Earth in that first half. He was, and we've seen glimpses of absolute brilliance from Michael Bradley, even in the time since he's come back and played for Toronto. Not as many as we were seeing when he was back playing in Serie A, but we've still seen glimpses of the Michael Bradley that Michael Bradley can be. But you bring up something there that really, really gets my brain going, and it's a lot of other people that like really analyzing this U.S. attack and looking at the intricacies and looking how players relate to one another. Bradley and Dempsey, that's the one for me, because we've had guests on this show who have said that they just simply can't play together, and I don't buy that. I think that's ridiculously over the top and extreme. I think they can play together, but I've also seen it be quite a struggle for them to play together and not, for lack of a better way to put it, Jeff, get in each other's way. How do you think that's going to play out on Saturday with the role that you're expecting Michael Bradley to play in this game?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And I think, I think there are a couple issues at work here. I think Mexico is going to have more of the ball. I mean, that's the way it has traditionally tended to go. And when that happens, a lot of times Dempsey will get frustrated and drop back, into midfield. And that's not necessarily a bad thing in and of itself, but, that tends to lead Jozy Altidore out on an island. And even if, he holds the ball up for 2 or 3 seconds, if guys are not doing a good job of transitioning into the attack and providing him with support, that could be a problem. And I've always maintained that the closer that Clint Dempsey is able to play to Jozy Altidore, the better off the U.S. is. But again, when the U.S. struggles to keep the ball, Dempsey kind of, takes it upon himself to go back and get his touches. In that moment, certainly a guy like Michael Bradley or Alejandro Bedoya, they're the guys that then need to provide Jozy with that support. So, it's a lot of recognition, I think. I think Dempsey and Bradley can play together. They certainly used to say the same thing about Michael Bradley and Jermaine Jones. And, I credit Klinsmann for this. He kind of found a tactical tweak to get them both on the field and both excelling. And, that meant relying on Kyle Beckerman to kind of be the dedicated holding guy. But, again, it's about recognition. And then I think Clint Dempsey kind of staying patient and kind of trusting that, his team is going to be able to keep the ball for long enough stretches that the U.S. is able to provide an offensive threat. I don't expect them to have the majority of possession, but if they can keep it for some decent stretches and at least make Mexico respect them, respect their attack, then I think it's going to make everyone's lives a lot easier. So, again, it's going to be finding that balance, and I think Dempsey just staying patient and realizing that, hey, when he gets the ball, he's got to be in a position where he can combine with Altidore and vice versa.
CONCACAF Cup spots in the 2017 Confederations Cup on the line, and a whole lot more that goes into this encounter. And simply put, it's USA, it's Mexico, it's in the Rose Bowl, Saturday, October the 10th. We'll be talking about it all week long here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Jeff, it's been great having you on in these 60 seconds before we got to let you go. Quick trip down Jeff Carlisle, USA, Mexico memory lane. What are some of the first few memories that pop into your brain, the best ones, when you think about this fantastic matchup?
Wow. This was back before I was a journalist, but, the 2002 World Cup, I remember being in a bar in Palo Alto and watching the game late into the night. And the tension was just almost unbearable. And then Donovan gets that goal to put the U.S. up 2, and you think, hey, finally, the U.S. is going to make a quarterfinal. And I remember thinking at the time, I might not see that in my lifetime. So, that was a huge moment. I think, going to the Azteca, that was the 1-0, the friendly that the U.S. won. That was an amazing result. But my first World Cup qualifier against Mexico was at Cruz Stadium, and two Michael Bradley goals gave the U.S. a 2-0 victory. And I remember the winds just whipping that night. I mean,
that
I
was two Michael Bradley goals in a Columbus monsoon. I remember that game quite well. And maybe it'll be two Michael Bradley goals in the Southern California scorching sunshine against Mexico on Saturday. We shall see. Jeff, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. You're welcome back anytime. And look forward to seeing you down here in L.A. later this week.
Absolutely, Nate. Thanks, man.
Again, that was Jeff Carlisle of ESPN FC. We're back to take the express train home after this right here on World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
Attention catheter users. Stop reusing dirty catheters. Catheters are now disposable. Recent changes in Medicare now allow patients up to 200 disposable catheters a month, all at little or no cost to you. We bill Medicare. Put an end to the mess and risk of infection by using old catheters. Just use a catheter once and throw it away. Eliminate trips to the pharmacy and insurance paperwork. Shipping is free. Receive a free catheter sample by calling and joining Medical Direct Club right now.
Call 1-800-399-9018 to receive your free catheter sample discreetly delivered right to your door. That's 1-800-399-9018. 1-800-399-9018. Call 1-800-399-9018 today.
Deductibles and copays apply. Free catheter samples require qualified membership. Sample will arrive with 90-day order.
Another huge thank you to Jeff Carlisle of ESPN FC for joining us, breaking down the tactical side of the CONCACAF Cup, at least for the U.S. of A. Let us know your take on the show today at World Soccer Talk and tweet me at NateWST. Throw out that interesting stat that Clint Dempsey has never scored against Mexico. Another good one, Chicharito Hernandez has never scored against the United States. We'll see if either of those change on Saturday night. And again, we'll be talking all about this game all week long. I'm down here at the Small House Studios in Hollywood, and I'll be over in Santa Monica hanging out with Robin Burt and Nick Webster and hanging out in Pasadena getting ready for this game, floating all around the Los Angeles area. Great to be down here in beautiful Southern California. Special hello to someone listening to the show today a former U.S. U18 stud and one of my favorites from Humboldt County, a player I used to coach who's now playing in the lower leagues over in France after a brief foray to Japan, Pia Kai Hankel. Hope you're doing well, buddy. Great to hear from you. Great you're listening to the show. World Soccer Talk Radio signing off. For the gaffer, for the producers, I'm Nate Abarrea. Talk to you tomorrow.